facile gianien. Hey there, Titan fans. This is your boy, August West. I'm joined by Josh Gunnels, who we had on the previous episode. I'll bring him up in just a second. He's actually fresh from the game, fresh from the parking lot out there at Nissan Stadium. I, however, am not. I enjoyed this from the comfort of my home, probably about a mile and a half from the stadium, because I had a free ticket to this game and just woke up with that feeling that, damn it, if I go to this game, we're going to lose. And I have been in the house for a lot of losses there at Nissan Stadium. So I stayed home, watched it with the kid, watched it with the wife, and things worked out pretty well for our Titans. So that being said, Gunnels, you there? You ready to talk a little Titans for about 10, 15 minutes? Oh, I might have lost him for a second. Hang on. Let me wait and see if he's calling back in. Hey there, buddy. We got you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go.
All right, good. Sorry, something happened to my connection. All right, thanks, man.
Oh, it's all right. That's the way it goes. This is a live episode for everybody that's listening. Basically, just because I was so worked up and excited by this game that wanted to talk about it for a little bit, get something out there for everybody, and we'll have our regular reaction show that goes up on Tuesdays. But we'll kick it off with Gunnels. What was it like inside the stadium?
Oh, man. I don't even know where to begin. I'll tell you, I will say this. There was a maybe a 5-1 Titans-Broncos fan. I mean, Broncos fans were represented well. 20% of the fan base may have been orange there, which is a pretty good chunk of the stadium. Maybe even 25%. It's nothing like the Packers game. Nothing like what the Steelers games have been or that one Bears game about 5 years ago where we got destroyed. But the Broncos fans showed up, but much like the Packers game and much like the other games this year, you know, the Titans fans stayed, they rallied, and they hushed up the opposing fans every time they tried to get loud. It was really great. It was like a playoff atmosphere. We did not sit down the entire game. The entire game, everyone stood, the whole stadium. And I can't remember the last time it was like that at LP Field or Nissan Stadium. Sorry.
No, but I mean to me that's almost good news. I will take 20% at this point where the Titans are, especially because this was a game that, look, I mean the single ticket that I got was for going to a Titans event where they were like just sort of giving away stuff. I think they knew this was going to be a tough one to pack with Titans fans, so they tried to give them out as much as they could for. You know, different event things, different charity things, giving extra tickets to season ticket holders, all that sort of stuff. And, I mean, the Broncos are a national team. They just won the Super Bowl. They were in the Super Bowl a couple years before that. They had Peyton Manning with them and everything. It looked like it was a good Titans crowd. On TV,
absolutely.
Glad to hear it sort of went the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was thinking about this in the beginning of the game. I was like, I think – I've watched a few games this year on TV that weren't Titans related. I watched a Bears game earlier this season, you know, non-national televised. I'm talking about not the Sunday night, Monday night games, right? So catching an afternoon game, I watched a Bears game. It looked like they're having a bad year. Their stadium was at most 40% full, right? I mean, just like desolate. It looked like but there weren't a bunch of the opposing fans to fill up those empty seats that people weren't using. And I think Nashville is just going to have to get used to the fact that, like it or not, it's now a destination city, and people are comboing that football game of their favorite team with a weekend trip to Nashville. People are like circling the Titans, the Nashville trip on the away games when the schedule comes out. So all those tickets where the regular fans can't go or don't want to go that own the seats, they're going to get sold to out-of-town fans. I think it's just the way it's going to be.
No doubt. And I think for most NFL teams, if you're not a perennial sort of top-tier team, I mean, that's just sort of understood at this point. It's harder to get people to come out to the stadium. And, you know, yeah, the people that do go and that are hardcore are, you know, if they live in the area. I mean, I knew so many people when Green Bay came down here and played that were Packers fans that had never been anywhere near Green Bay or anything. But when the Packers come around, those fans come down into the stadium. Like, it's just sort of a mixed bag these days. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm willing to deal with that as long as it's always a heavy majority of Titans fans that are there, which is something that we haven't seen over the past 4 or 5 years, nor is it something that the team had really earned over the past 4 or 5 years. But this year, you know, things have been a little different. Titans are a little bit on the come up, and taking this game from a Super Bowl champion, finally getting back over 500, especially, you know, in light of the news that the Colts got taken down by the Texans, who, you know, we've already lost our 2 games to the Colts. So if we've got to go one-on-one for the division crown with anybody, it needs to be Houston. We still got a game against them. We still got a game against the Jaguars. This was a big boy win for the Tennessee Titans. And one that really started out in the first half, the Titans were so dominant. You know, they were making good plays. They were running the ball at will. The defense was flying around all over the place. They didn't have a third down conversion until well into the third quarter on that third and 14. However, and I'm not this guy, I usually don't complain about officiating generally, maybe a bad call here and there. The first half was one of the worst officiated games going against us I think I've seen in a long, long time. Did it read that way inside the stadium?
Oh, absolutely. It was I even tweeted out a couple times, and that's something I just stay away from. Because, like, look, you're going to get bad calls. You're going to get good calls. There's human error. You know, it's easy to point out the bad ones that go against your team and ignore the good ones that go, you know, for your team. But, like, I have literally never seen such bad one-sided officiating in my life. Like, that's not hyperbole. It was just bad. It got so bad at one point, August, I thought I was at a Predators game. The entire crowd was chanting, "Ref, you suck. Refs, you suck." It got that bad. I've never seen anything that bad. I mean, from the Marcus Mariota non-PI call, where Marco Murray threw the ball to him, to the countless push-offs of Demaryius Thomas, to the bad spots. They had 2 third-down plays where they spotted it.
Horrific spots.
They just gave them first downs that weren't – they didn't have, you know. And whatever, you get a bad spot here and there, but there was just – horrible, the block in the back on, who was that, DeMarco Murray? Like,
yeah.
It's like an out-of-bounds, like at the end of the play, he kind of like bumped into a guy, and they called it like a block in the back or something.
Well, the worst one really was Delanie Walker on that first touchdown. You know, it's okay, we ended up scoring again. But, I mean, he clearly caught the ball, and I know it was close as to whether or not that 1 foot touched the white going out of bounds. You can't blow the whistle on something that close.
Yeah.
You cannot blow that whistle, period, because once they blow the whistle, you know, Malarkey ends up throwing the challenge flag, and the ref,
that you can't,
you know, the ref crew has to come over, which I appreciate that Malarkey was like, I know I can't challenge this, but I'm going to throw it anyway, just so you have to walk over and think about how bad of a call that was. The Marcus Mariota one was absolutely brutal. Delanie Walker was getting just hung on to all day. It's been that way for really the past 3 or 4 games. The Colts game, guys just mauled him. The Bears game, guys just mauled him. But, you know, man, that nine-knuckle sandwich, his stiff arm is an absolute thing of beauty. You know, that's what made that broken play that he pretty much should have scored on. You know,
absolutely.
The reffing crew had the testicular fortitude to correct it. But, you know, when you capped off like 4 horrible calls that went against us, and then you try to say that there was an illegal block on the kicking team on a
block
punt,
in the back.
It's like, who?
On a punt.
Yeah, like who in the world is blocking for the kicking team on a punt? Yeah, and then when they come back from the commercial break, they fix it and went the other way. But it does not give you much faith in the referees going forward. And you saw this Titans team basically, you know, I tweeted out around halftime, the biggest adjustment they need to make is to be perfect, because this refereeing crew clearly hates football.
Was that Jeff Triplett's crew?
No.
Today?
John Farrar, I think is his name.
Okay.
Mike Keith and Frank Wycheck were just letting him have it. Over the course of the game,
was,
they usually don't step into the middle of those kind of calls, but it was bad.
It was very bad. Yeah, that was a big take. You know, the Titans fans sticking in there. The play. I mean, it was definitely a playoff atmosphere at Nissan Stadium. I mean, it was loud the whole time, standing the whole time. It was really great to be back to that, regardless of what happens the rest of the year. You know, this is all gravy, and I'm souping it up. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
That stood out to me. The officiating stood out to me big time. I'll tell you one other thing that stood out to me, and you can tell me how this was on TV. I thought, it's almost as if they just pounded it in their heads, I thought Valentino Blake and LaShawn Sims actually did a really good job for what they were asked to do, and I think they did. They definitely, all of them, even McCourty, were getting their heads around on the deep balls. They weren't going to, like, get this face-guarding penalty again. They may get beat, but they're going to be turned around looking for the ball when they get beat. I felt like they stepped their cornerback play up a notch for sure. I was actually pleasantly surprised. I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying they're better than they've been, which was
– They were good enough
today. They were good enough today, yeah. Right? And go ahead.
And that was kind of the breakdown. Like, the defense – really stepped up over the course of the entire game.
Absolutely.
I have my issues with the offensive play calling, especially once we kind of got ahead. However, it was very conservative, and that's easy to crack on as a fan when you're sitting around watching, you know, the game. But when you look at the final box score, the reason we win this game is because we took the ball away twice and we didn't give the ball away a single time.
That's
and
right.
You know, those were the pivotal points of the entire game. And for a team that just a month ago was -6 in the turnover ratio, they've all of a sudden, even though they haven't been winning as pretty over the past three games, they've gotten themselves back to +2. They've been doing a very nice job of not turning the ball over and creating turnovers, which is really how you win games. Turnover ratio and your point differential are two stats that are very important for how you're going to do moving forward. And even though they're not scoring as many points, the fact that they're doing that well is something that Titans fans should take some stock in.
Yeah, turnovers are huge, for sure. And I tell you, it was as unexpected as it was very nice. I feel like the offense has carried the defense for the past 6-8 games in more ways.
Yep.
The defense has done its part, but like, really, the offense has made the big plays, put up the points. Mariota throwing for 3 touchdowns a game and 300 yards, blah, 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 right? Like, the offense has really carried this team. It's become an offensive team. And on when they needed it the most, when they're going up against the number one passing defense, I mean, those there was – I don't know what it looked like on TV because a lot of times they follow the quarterback from the TV view as soon as the ball snapped. But when you're there, like, there was no one to throw it to. Like, there was nobody open, like, ever. I'm sure there's a couple spots we could find when you go back and watch the film. But, like, that's why Mariota was just, like, waiting, pump. No, okay, I'll run, I'll scramble, I'll throw it away, like, whatever. That defense is really, really good. And on a day when the offense couldn't get it going, at least through the air, the defense stepped up. They stepped up big today, and that's great. That's like what you need, right?
And Brett Kern had a great game, especially there at the end.
Yep.
When we downed the ball inside their 5-yard line or so.
McBride, right? McBride got down there, and he McBride
yeah,
just
yeah,
got
yeah,
put
McBride.
On, right? Oh, that
yeah,
was
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, McBride, who got pulled up. Basically, he was only active because Kendall Wright – as we'll talk about a lot more on the Tuesday episode, you know, missed a meeting, was late to some meetings yesterday and was a healthy scratch. That's probably going to end his tenure. I think he'll play in the next few games, but there's no way they're going to re-sign him after that.
No.
Really, in my opinion. But yes, for McBride to come in and make that play, because you knew watching this Denver offense, there's no way in hell that they're going to drive the ball 98 yards on a last-minute drive, you know, with only one or two timeouts I think they had at that point. Anytime
yeah,
you
they
can
had
make
two.
Trevor Siemian throw it 50 times, you know you're doing something right. He threw
yeah.
the ball 50 times, and every touchdown, every point they scored, they had to take so many shots at getting the ball into scoring position or into the end zone. It was a really, really stand-up performance by the defense, and it might have been capped off by once we got that final turnover. I'm sure you couldn't see it in the stadium, but on TV they showed Dick LeBeau on the sideline, and as soon as they came up with that turnover, he basically, like, grabbed his chest and started freaking out. I didn't know if he was going to have a heart attack or, you know, what was going on, but he was so like, oh, God, please, somebody make a play. Make a play for me. And they made a play for Dick LeBeau.
I'll tell you what, man, this team, I put out a tweet about it because I was watching when they were getting ready to kick off the ball, and the special teams kick unit was out there on the field kind of lining up, getting ready to go. I thought Supernaw was on meth or something. He was screaming and banging his head and just, like, going nuts, like ready for the
yeah.
ball to be kicked off. And this
That's awesome.
Team – was focused. They did not come out. I was scared. They went into the bye week so hot. I was scared they were going to get some time off and come out flat, right? I was worried about, they came out so focused, so energized, and so, like, up for this game. They were ready to take on the defending Super Bowl champions and prove that they belonged in the conversation. And I've got to give credit to Mike Mularkey for having this team week in, week out, never giving up, ready to play, and just, you know, we haven't got blown out, not once. And I'm
yeah.
so glad. I was so tired of just the games that – even the games that we got down big in, we came back and hung in there, you know. Titans have done – that's the biggest improvement I've seen this year, honestly.
Yeah, for the first time in a long time, we got a team who could take a punch in the mouth and get back up and keep playing.
Yep.
You know, I mean, yes, this team does things that will infuriate you over the course of a game, but when you look at what we've watched over the past 5 years, it's really not that bad. You know, one of the biggest things that I liked watching this game was over the first half. I'm not going to say that the Tennessee Titans and their coaches and front office people listen to this show, but we have noticed over the past 7 years of doing this show, certain times after we scream about something for long enough, eventually it happens. They played Derrick Henry the way you're supposed to use Derrick Henry when you also had DeMarco Murray, who made it clear on those first two drives, DeMarco Murray is back. He had his spin move. He had his hop. His little hop step. He had all those things he had early in the season that made him a very productive running back. But don't waste his energy and his time on some of these runs where it's third and two or we're down inside the goal line. DeMarco Murray got his touchdown or, you know, got really close on that touchdown because Derrick Henry bullied his way for those 3 or 4 yards. Derrick Henry is a guy who can bully his way to 3 yards, even if you hit him behind the line of scrimmage. The way they use both of those guys on a regular basis, I thought was the best usage they've done of them since the Jacksonville game, which, you know, was one where he kind of ran away with a little bit. But that was like, dude, that's everything I've wanted. And it made Marcus's designed runs more productive. The designed run that Marcus had when he went to the outside – and he stutter-stepped so that Von Miller had to stop, and then Taylor Lewan was able to gobble him up and take him out on that play, is not something you can teach. That is like taking guys, do what they do naturally, and let them do it on a regular basis.
Yeah, the Marcus play was great. And, you know, on I was glad to see, like you, Derrick Henry getting the ball more, but I think that just may be a function of how many times did they run the ball today, like 39 or something, 40?
Yeah, it was around 40.
I mean so yeah,
had,
you're going to get
the ball 35-40 times.
Yeah, so if you run the ball 40 times, Derrick Henry's going to get, you know, 10 or 12. If you run the ball 25, Derrick Henry's not going to get 10 or 12. He's going to get, you know, 3 to 4. And So, yeah, if you get to run the ball and you go into a game knowing you're going to run the ball that much, I think that's why Derrick Henry got the carries that he got, not because they think that they need to put it in his hands more. I don't know. Maybe they have changed their philosophy. I think it was more of a function of how much they knew they were going to run the ball. They had to keep a better distribution.
It was the situations in which he got those runs that I thought was better, and that's what I've been screaming about. I'm not saying these guys have to be 50-50 or even that it has to be 7-30, but you have to acknowledge the fact that there is a role Derrick Henry has of, even if you hand the ball off to him, there's not the highest ceiling in the world. He's not going to be like Chris Johnson to bust off 80 yards, but he's never
right.
going to get you less than 3 yards. So when you're in those positions where you have to get at least 3 yards, why not give it to him instead of giving it to DeMarco? I felt like they did that very well over the course of this game. And I hope that they keep doing it moving forward, because, like, it's the same reason Jeff Fisher would always pound the ball. Because when it gets down to the fourth quarter, man, that defense does not want to play against you.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want
absolutely.
To see a healthy and energetic, ready-to-go Derrick Henry lining up in the backfield after you've already hit him 10 or 12 times.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's not like DeMarco Murray doesn't pound it in the beginning also. You know, I mean, like, yeah, you're completely right. The end of the game, they're just like, oh, God, can we just go home? You know,
yeah,
that's how you get the fall forward. That's how you get the fall forward for 3 yards at the end of the game, because they're not coming up to stop you.
Like,
they're just trying to wrap you up.
Exactly. And maybe that's like failing a description. We're not talking about thunder or lightning. We're talking about like thunder and hurricane. Like, one
yeah.
is a very violent, powerful runner, and the other one is also a violent, powerful runner who could do a couple other things.
Yep.
You know, like,
no, you're right.
Yeah.
I tell you, I did not envy Robiskie or Malarkey when the Titans got the ball with 4-something minutes left. When there was like 10 minutes left. You're pinned up against your own goal line. I'm like, what are
yeah.
you going to do? I'm like, no matter what, it's the wrong decision, right? If you try and pass and catch them off guard and you don't get it, everyone's going to scream, why don't you run it? If you run it and get no yards, they're going to be like, everyone knew you were going to run it. Like, I'm just like, man, this is like a no-win situation here. Like, that's when, like, I have no idea what kind of play call you run, because the passing game hasn't been on either. Mariota was not
yeah.
sharp. You know, he missed Delanie Walker deep. He missed that one third down to DeMarco Murray, who is on the out, on the flat, right, who would have had a first down. He threw one late to Tajay Sharpe. I really wished he hadn't done that, almost got intercepted right across the middle. It seemed to me like there was
yeah.
not any emphasis at all, and we'll see when we go back and look at the tape, that there was no slants. There was no quick outs. There was not a quick passing game. I think they thought they were going to stay in man-to-man. And try and get the deeper stuff to work. Maybe I thought they felt like they could take their shots, work it off the play action, but I didn't see any short, quick attempts across the middle. I didn't see any quick outs or slants to Delanie Walker. Like, I didn't see any of those pass attempts. It seemed like, and it's different when you're at the game, it all just kind of melds into one big event, but, like, I felt like every pass attempt was, like, down the field. You know, and I'm just
it
like,
was.
Man, they,
it was, and
that why,
and
it, that it's got to be a scheme thing. That's got to be a play calling thing of what they thought they could or couldn't get from the Broncos defense. But there was no quick short passing game to just get it going.
Look, I absolutely agree with you. And the thing I kept harping on over the course of the game was the fact that, look, Marcus Mariota is great. He is going to be an MVP caliber player, you know, if he's healthy and they put talent around him over the course of his career. He's a phenomenal quarterback. He can read things well, but that doesn't mean he's perfect. And to me, right now, what he is a rhythm quarterback. That's why he's so great in the 2-minute drill and the 4-minute drill, you know, when they let him just sit out a shotgun and spray the ball around. When he gets into a rhythm, the guy is absolutely nasty. The Broncos defense did a great job of putting us in situations, and that we didn't do a great job play calling wise of taking advantage of the fact that he is a rhythm quarterback. So when you look at so many of these drives, when we go run, run, pass, and he's got to complete the third and six, or he's got to complete, you know, even on third and three, he missed one, a couple of others. You can't just ask him to not throw the ball for 30 minutes and then do a great job on the next pass play that you call. For whatever reason, that's something that he is not great at right now. I would rather you go run, run, run it on third down and then give him something on fourth down if you have to, or throw it on first down, throw it on second down, and then try and run it on third down. But you have to give him more of a rhythm than, look, the pass you make right now is going to define what happens for the next 15 minutes of the game. That's not his strong suit, unless he's in the red zone. I mean, he's an absolute monster in the red zone. But, yeah, I mean, look, Marcus has been so amazing over the past month, too. Also understand if the coaching staff is like, well, let's just believe in him to that level. But, however, well, I think when it comes down to it, he is a rhythm quarterback. You have to get him in a rhythm. You can't ask him to be a game manager. Every time they ask him to be a game manager, quote-unquote, kind of quarterback, that's not his strong suit.
No, he's definitely taken games over. He's got to be a big part of it. But, you know, it is an off day for the passing game against the league's number one pass defense. So go figure.
Yeah. Those cornerbacks are not – it's like, yeah, Mike Keith and them kept harping on, like, oh, well, they haven't competed a pass – they haven't competed a pass to a quarter – to a wide receiver. You know, everything's been to a running back or to a tight end. Like,
That's the only ones that are open.
You don't – Yeah, you don't want to throw the ball to Aqib Talib or Chris Harris Jr. That's the reason those guys started playing inside, was because Wade Phillips, who is one of the best defensive coordinators that's ever existed, understands, okay, if you're not going to throw the ball to the outside, why should I waste my best resources on guarding guys on the outside?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, man, it was all in all, you know what? Titans won, Texans won. We got what we wanted. That's all you could have asked for out of all of this. And it was a good day. It was great at the game. Good for the home crowd. It was fun to stay through the whole thing and didn't mind sitting in the parking lot afterwards because of it.
And without Jarrell Casey. Yeah, no. For the defense to perform like that without Jarrell Casey, with the secondary that's starting a lot of young guys, Kevin Byard had a huge game. You know, we've talked about who in this defense is going to play sort of the Troy Polamalu role. I'm not saying he's as good as Troy, but he has shown that he can play that role. His rushes at the quarterback clearly disrupted this defense. And then, the rest of the guys in the secondary really – came up and made plays when it came down to it. This is not a good offense, but it was a big performance by the defense. So, Josh, thank you so much for joining us. Tell everybody where they can find you online. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We're going to do a regular reaction episode on Tuesday, but ESPN Stats and Info had even put out that this was the biggest game the Titans have played since week 14 of 2011, and it felt like it was even bigger than that. So check us out online at musiccitymurals.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere at MCM Radio. And Titans, let's go win some stuff.